When I was younger and more inclined to chase paper at literally all hours of the night, I took a side gig as an Uber driver. This was on top of my full-time job in retail. Working a counter and making sales just didn't have the payout that I needed at the time. And I wasn't smart enough to just find a better job or simply negotiate a raise. Instead, I did what so many of our working youth do today and picked up a second job. I lived in this big city, drove a nicer car that I loved zipping around in. So working Uber made a lot of sense in my mind. This was around 10 years ago, so the company had successfully launched and was making waves all over the country. You'd hear about people clearing six-figure salaries, all just from giving people rides around their community. People I'd talked to, just in passing, all told me the same thing. It was easy money that you could make hand over fist. I can't really tell you that it wasn't that. I pulled a decent amount in this little side hustle, but I wasn't doubling my income like I thought I would. It also put me in this new level of exhaustion, because I had to sacrifice sleep in order to have more productive Uber shifts. This meant I was going all the time. I'd get off the retail job around 5 p.m., grab a quick bite to eat, and then off to work Uber until about 2 in the morning. Anything after that time, I quickly learned was just riffraff. And this was back when Uber didn't have quite the protocol that it does now. It wasn't unheard of for some pretty wild stuff to happen in the backseat of these cars. Fast forward a little bit, and I'm like 6 months into this new working world. I've gotten the swing of working double shifts, where the higher yield areas are for pickups, and how to make a quick turnaround in both drop-offs and getting back down to the downtown areas. If you took the wrong road, you'd come up on the opposite side, where a lot of commercial and business parks were. You'd have to make these weird loops that took extra time and gas to do so. There was a hospital downtown that I would periodically idle nearby, as it had serious real estate in the form of parking lots. I could just rest here and check my phone, not have to worry about the hustle and bustle of traffic, even catch a few Z's if I needed to. There were also various fast food joints and convenience stores nearby, everything to keep me in the game. Occasionally, I'd drink a Red Bull or something, but it wasn't that often. Alas, I found myself at the end of an exhaustive cycle. I was definitely about to reach my limit. One night, during that red line period, I did my usual routine where I pulled into the hospital while waiting for a client. It was an unusually slow night, and I was expecting lots of passengers, so I didn't really know what to do. I held out that I'd make more money later on in that night, so went and got an energy drink from a vending machine in the lobby. It didn't matter. I plopped back down in the driver's seat, turned on my favorite playlist, and then passed out just right there. I wasn't asleep for very long, but it was a deep, catatonic rest. You know the one. Mouth wide open, drooling, mouth breathing, looking my absolute worst. There is one thing that I dislike more, and that's the feeling of waking up when I shouldn't have been asleep. My brain starts to immediately overcompensate. I can't make any connections despite all the sparks. I can't remember where I am, who I am, what I'm doing. There are times when teachers would catch me sleeping in high school. I'd be so startled when they woke me up. I couldn't even speak proper English. Just make weird noises and get silent, then literally have to remember how to make it all make sense. It was one of those times. I remember kicking myself awake because my head was at this weird funny angle. I made this kind of groaning sound as I snapped back into the waking world. I was still inside my car. It was still nighttime. Hell, it was the same playlist coming through the speakers. I peeked up at the clock and saw that I was only out for maybe 15 minutes. I took a deep breath through my nose and then settled into the seat. A cat nap was actually perfect, allegedly giving us more energy than a longer nap. I checked my phone and saw that I didn't miss anything, but there was a person that I could swoop up nearby and make a few bucks off. I took another swig of my drink, checked my mirrors, and then went to shift into park. I stopped though. There was something off in my rearview mirror. If I wasn't mistaken, there was a person sitting right behind me, in the middle seat. We make eye contact. I whirl around and sure enough, plain as day, there's a man just sitting not 12 inches from me. He gets a little smile across his face and just kind of nods, like he was acknowledging that I'd been asleep. It almost looked like a little hello on his end. I really didn't know what to do. Part of me wanted to start screaming at him to get out. Another part of me wanted to put on this front, act real tough, and then the other part of me just wanted to ask what he was doing inside my car. That's when I looked down and saw the Uber app open in his phone. I remember the sticker in my window that I was parked outside of a hospital. This guy probably exited one of these buildings, was wandering to a through street while he booked a ride. Then he just happened to see me. For whatever reason, seeing his phone helped my brain regain just a little coherence. That put the panic to rest. So I simply said, "Hi, what are you doing in my car?" He didn't respond for a moment, just kind of looked at the floor and then the ceiling, anywhere but directly at me. I gestured to his phone and then continued to talk. "Are you looking for a ride or something?" I asked. He nodded. Okay, he's at least halfway normal. I got on at length for a bit, pulling my seatbelt on. Then I explained to him what I explained to you. I worked two jobs, I was tired, and I just happened to fall asleep. I said I'd be happy to give him a ride in exchange for a good review, one that wouldn't say that I was sleeping inside my car. We both shared a laugh on that one. "I'm trying to get downtown," he said. He pointed back Jackson Drive, a main drag through the area. "Where?" I asked. He then gave me these loose directions, but said it was pretty close to an old music venue that had shut down a few years before. I was familiar with that area, so I just started the route. We made a little small talk, mostly about myself and how I'd fallen asleep. This guy's name was Donovan. He said that when he got in the car, he went to speak but saw that I was snoring, so just decided to wait. "Well, I appreciate you not being a weirdo," I said. "I was about to freak out before I saw your Uber app." Then it hits me. This guy and I aren't actually linked up. He never ordered a ride through the app, and I haven't logged picking anyone up. I take a quick glance at him in the rear view and say, "Hey, I just realized this ride isn't registered. Can you find me on the app really quickly?" That's when the guy scoffs, looks out the window and says, "Oh, I'm not paying for this." I laugh, to which he just stays silent. It's getting a little awkward now. I glance into the back real quick, realize the mistake that I've now made. This guy isn't dressed like a professional, no business casual, if you catch my drift. He's filthy. He's got torn up clothes. He's only got one shoe on. His face is dirty and dark from sun exposure. There's this grimy backpack next to him. He's homeless. He has to be. While I was asleep, some drifter hanging around the hospital must have just climbed into my car, thinking he'd be able to sleep in it or something. I noticed it on my second glance, though. Donovan is wearing a bracelet, the paper kind that they use in the hospital for discharge. This guy probably OD'd behind a trash can, got Narcan'd, and is now getting a free ride back to his crack house. All because I couldn't keep my eyes open. I shake my head, hit my blinker, and then start guiding my car towards the next exit. "Yo, where are you going?" he asked from the back. "I told you where we're going." "I'm not driving you across town for free, dude. You're lucky I don't even call the cops," I countered. I took my phone out of the cup holder beside me just to show him that I wasn't messing around. "Yeah," Donovan said. "You're lucky I don't unlace my shoe and strangle you with it." Before I could even blink, I felt his crusty, calloused hands sneak around the headrest and wrap around my throat. Instinctually, I took one hand off the wheel and tried to break his grip, but I couldn't do it. I barely got a finger underneath his palm to create just this little space to breathe. Panic started to set in. As I watched a minute tick by on the clock, I tried to get this guy off of me. I could hear his raspy breath just behind me. The smell coming off his hands and mouth was completely disgusting. This dude definitely hadn't showered in at least a week or more. Then it finally hits me. How to get him off of me. I check my mirrors and see that I'm alone on this stretch of the highway. I then firmly slam on my brakes. I was belted in, but Donovan behind me wasn't as lucky. He slammed forward, right into my seat, which created a little space in his arms. I yanked with my free hand, broke his grip, and then gunned the car over the shoulder. At this point, Donovan has recovered and is now trying to grab me again, but I'm not letting that happen twice. We're in a bit of a standoff now. I put the car in the park and put the hazards on. I say to hell with it. This has already gone too far. I dial 911, hit the call button, and press the phone to my ear. He starts to trip out, makes a lot more threats, but starts to get out of my car now. That's when I notice he's holding a purse, a pretty nice one at that. He grumbles a little bit, shoulders his backpack in that purse, then steps out into the cool night air. He then proceeds to start walking down the shoulder, down the exit ramp and back into the city. I hear dispatch in my ear and I realize I can't just let this go. I start rattling off everything that just happened to me, where I'm at and where the perp is located. As I'm describing the scene, the dispatcher gets quiet for a second, maybe even mutes me, then comes back with new information just a minute later. She says my report matches an earlier one from that exact hospital that I was parked at. Apparently, old Donovan had been admitted exactly as I figured, and during his stay, he became incoherent, agitated, and realized that he wasn't being supervised. He unhooked himself from the machine, put his clothes back on, then just exited the hospital, but not before stealing a purse out of one of the rooms in his wing. She noticed not long after it went missing and got with hospital security. They got on the cameras. It didn't take very long to see this guy strolling out the front door with that woman's purse in hand. From there, he starts running, as seen on the footage. He was probably paranoid about getting caught now that he'd exited the hospital. He zigzagged through the parking lot for a bit before coming upon my car, which was on and idling. D-bag Donovan thought he was going to be able to steal my car, up until he saw me sleeping in it. From there, he just snuck into the back and hid from any potential hospital security. Needless to say, Donovan's night went south after he got out of my car. I told dispatch where I was and where he was headed, and then even followed him down the exit ramp. I didn't make it two blocks before a cop swooped in, flashed him with the lights and siren, and threw him in a pair of cuffs. The phone that I'd seen in his hand was the woman's phone. He'd found it in her purse. He was trying to figure out how to order an Uber in the event that I didn't wake up. It just happened to be the perfect guys in the moment. I gave a statement to the officers who hauled him off. I suspected he spent a couple of weeks drying out in a jail cell. I probably don't need to say this, but remember to lock your car doors, people. A year before COVID hit, I got hired at a call center way downtown, like inner city. We worked taking calls for a roadside assistance company that will remain anonymous. Although honestly, the last time I looked them up, I couldn't even find a website for them. They may or may not even be in business anymore. Anyway, because of the nature of our industry, our office operated 24 hours a day. It wasn't this big private call center, but just a ground level corner unit in a commercial office block. We shared a building with 10 or 12 other businesses. All of them would operate during normal hours. At 5 p.m., the whole parking lot cleared out, and the only light on would be coming from our place. It had no signage and a keypad on the door for around-the-clock access. We would trade shifts at 4 p.m., midnight, and 9 a.m., usually in two-man teams, sometimes three or four throughout the week or on holiday weekends. The overnight shift was typically just one guy, Benji, but holiday weekends, they'd put two of us from midnight to 9 a.m. So there we were. I think it was Labor Day weekend, and it's Benji and I, handling the phones on a Friday overnight shift. I didn't ever mind getting these shifts because honestly, I love working with the guy. He was a little older than me and had some of the craziest stories that I've ever heard. He grew up inner city, kind of a criminal, but got cleaned up and was looking to break into the music business. I was into drawing and illustration, and he liked looking at whatever I was working on at the time. We'd just hang out and until the sun came up. We'd even troll people on the phone if they were spamming or dodging the line. Looking back now, it was a lot of fun in those dark hours, and a lot of daydreaming. One night we ordered Domino's, split a pizza and some Cinesticks. Legendary meal for a couple of call room guys. Little did I know in my early 20s that I was slowly becoming lactose intolerant, so all of that cheese and butter would send my stomach and my colon into hysterics. We ate around midnight, talked, and then worked until about 1:30 a.m. And then I started catching the gurgles. By 2 a.m., I knew something was about to happen, out of one end or the other. I clued Benji into what was going on so he could watch the phone line for me. I slipped out the door, which was the only way in and out of the office. There was no secondary escape, no back door, just a big panel window in the back. In hindsight, The office almost seemed illegal. Lots of things within the operation were just shady as hell. As you can imagine, because there's so many office units, we also share a single pair of bathrooms. They were on the ground floor, and they were external, as in the doors were open to the public. Everyone who worked there had a key to either open one door or the other. They were all the way down one of these stretch of businesses, about 40 feet, and then around a corner and tucked into a little back nook of a second floor. This kept them out of sight so no randoms or weirdos tried to use them and or vandalize them. I go in, struggling with my unbeknownst to me digestive issues, and then wash up. As I'm looking into the mirror, I hear someone push on the door from the outside. I laugh and yell something out, as I assumed it was Benji just messing with me. There was no response except for a couple of hard whacks against the metal. Weird, but I had been in there forever, so again, I think Benji is just being funny. I open the door. There's no one there. I step out and wander down the little hallway, but instead of continuing on to the office, I hook left and go out to a small secondary parking lot. It's out in the back. It's where the dumpsters are, as well as this little outdoor area. As I step into the parking lot, I hear feet slapping the asphalt, running at me from some direction. Now I know something weird is going on. I turn and bolt back for the office. I'm sprinting and about to fall face first into the cement, but catch myself on the handle just in time. I start to punch in the code and immediately get it wrong. It's flashing red. I have to wait 5 seconds for it to reset. All I can hear is my heart, my breathing, and these flapping feet out there in the dark. I jiggle the handle and scream for Benji. I'm banging on the door. Suddenly, I realize I've switched positions. Now it's me outside being the scary, chaotic thing, and I can see him through the blinds, looking over his shoulder. He's on the phone, which is flashing red on 3 ports. It apparently picked up while I was handling my business. I turn and start banging on the glass, begging him to get up. I see him hit the hold button, swing the chair around, and rush over to the door. He pushes it open, I spill in, and he slams it right shut again. Breathless, I tell him what had just happened to me. I'm expecting Benji to freak out, lock the extra bolt on the door, and tell me to call the police. Nope, the exact opposite happened. He rolls up his sleeves and steps out into the cool night air. The person was lurking around at the end of the building, where it turned for the bathroom nook. They were barefoot, drug-addled, your average homeless fella in our city. I watched from the threshold of the office door as Benji pigeon-chested this guy and gave him the stern get the hell out of here stick, and sure enough, got the guy to tuck tail and run. What I perceived as a serial killer, Benji immediately pegged for just a hobo tweaker. Like I said, he was a hard-ass inner-city dude. He had a colorful history, bit of a rap sheet. I was very grateful to have him by my side every time I went down in that office. We ran into that lurking creep a few more times and honestly had all kinds of crazy experiences while working there. There was a 7-Eleven right across the street that would get robbed, roadside calls where people were shot, even one of our drivers. And also a time we helped a guy escape a cult compound by towing his car off of their property. I've never told these stories online, so if anyone is interested in them, just leave me a comment. Cheers.
So, I've done a lot of driving for a few years now for many different reasons. Sometimes I drive to work, and sometimes just to hang out with friends on the weekends. Being 25 years old, of course, I would most of the time go out partying on the weekends, which resulted in me having to drive places. The places I'd go to were mainly bars and clubs, so sometimes I'd end up driving really long distances for that. It was a weekend night, and I was driving home from one of my college friends' parties when I realized that I was low on gas. To be honest, I debated whether to get gas now or wait until tomorrow, but I knew that I'd probably forget. I pulled into one of my local gas stations down the road and filled up my car with a full tank. As I pay, waiting for my car to fill up, I notice that it's relatively quiet around. This was strange, as this gas station was pretty popular with it being on the corner, especially for a weekend night. Once my car had been filled up, I go inside just to grab a quick snack when I notice a gas station attendant behind the counter. I give him a quick wave and go get a snack, where I then bring it to the counter. Right away, I could almost tell that there was something off about this attendant. He didn't look like someone who would work at a gas station at all. What I mean by that is that in my city, gas station employees were required to wear uniforms. This guy wore a black hoodie and some sweatpants. Not wanting to pry and too tired to care, I tell him it was just the snack I wanted. Right away, he said $2, not even scanning the item to be sure. I pull out $2 from my wallet and hand it to him, where he just pockets the money. Confused, I tell him to have a nice night while walking out, when I hear someone scream, "Help me!" That's when I turn to look at the attendant, where he's now pointing a gun at me, telling me to ignore that. Without hesitation, I basically storm out of the gas station, put the pump back, and floor it. All the while, I'm on the phone with the police, explaining what had happened and what gas station I had left from. As it turns out, police ended up going over, but unfortunately, the so-called attendant I saw was long gone. The actual attendant had been tied up behind one of the dumpsters, who was the one I heard screaming for help. He had been shot in the leg and hit in the head with a pipe, leaving him unconscious. This explains why I saw the other man with a gun. God only knows what would have happened had I confronted him or called the police then. However, I have the personality of a wimp at times, so I wasn't about to take him on or do anything stupid. A few weeks later, a couple's car got stolen while getting gas from another station from the next town over. They never got it back, even while looking for it. I'm still not sure if it was the same guy or not, as crime is slightly high around where I live. What I encountered was possibly one of the worst, if not the worst, incident around where I live. That gas station had been closed for a good week or so before reopening again. It's been months now, and I'm still not sure if police managed to find whoever did this, or if he's still out there. The description I gave wasn't as great, seeing as he had on a hoodie while also wearing a mask. This just goes to show you that even the most innocent places can be dangerous, especially at night. Nowadays, I always carry a pocket knife with me whenever I go out at night, just in case. Me nor my family go to that gas station anymore, due to the sheer paranoia of what happened.